There are a few more handouts coming out if you want to make sure you grab one. Hopefully you can keep this with you to review what we talked about the last time, but we're going to begin this morning and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Actually, I'd like to also begin with 1 Peter, start with 1 Peter 1. So if you want to find 1 Peter 1 and Romans chapter 8 in your Bible. All right, let's begin with prayer and ask the Lord for his blessing and help. Father, we come before you this morning and are so grateful and thankful for your presence and for the liberty that we have. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you, God, that you are our Jehovah Jireh and that you also are the Jehovah, the God that heals, and that Jesus Christ is the healer of our minds, and that you, by your Spirit, have made us new as creatures, new creations in Christ Jesus, and given us a new mind and a new heart and a new will. And Father, we want to bless you and thank you and praise you this morning, God, that you intend for us to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that rules and reigns in our hearts and minds. Father, please enable me to give the things that you want me to give that are from you in a clear way, in a non-confusing way, and that you would hide me behind the cross and that you would do the work in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, but if you need a handout, are there some more handouts back there? Just maybe, does Jim have them? Okay, he'll have some more. So if you need one, maybe go grab one from the back. All right, we're going to just do a little bit of review from last time. Quickly, if you weren't here, we discussed last time how just the mind itself, how the mind works, and that anxiety and wrong thinking are things that need to be confronted. And so the first point was that we confront our thinking with truth. And we went to the scripture and 2 Corinthians that we are to tear down every stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are to take every thought captive. And we discussed a little bit about how we are to confront our thoughts and examine our thoughts and ask ourselves if our thinking lines up with truth. And we discussed the idea of how do we know whether or not our thoughts are right and true and helpful and productive. And we talked about care, the care that dominates our thinking, care that is unproductive, care that interferes with our joy, is all sinful care. And Jesus gives us directives in the book of Matthew that we are to be anxious for nothing. And Paul says this as well. And so that we are not to be, the old word is careful for nothing, and that sense of care dominating our thinking, and care interfering with our joy, and care that is ultimately, or worry that is ultimately unproductive. And so the entire theme really of this series is that God intends for us as believers to be flourishing. The quote from J.C. Ryle is that a sanctified, growing, flourishing Christian is one whose mind is fixed in Christ. They have a joyful, peace-filled, renewed, calm mind. You will experience sorrow. You will experience pain. But we are taught by the Holy Spirit to live. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Paul says, if you have learned Christ, you have learned to be imitators of Christ and to walk in the new man and to rest all your hopes on Christ and his atonement. J.C. Ryle says, this is the man who lives a spiritually holy life with a solid peace that is never exhausted. So we also talked last week about how our thoughts affect our emotions and our emotions affect our behaviors. So just a couple of things. How can we examine our thinking and say, is our thinking in line with Scripture? Is it productive? Is it dominating my thinking in a wrong way? Well, we first measure it with the idea of control. Determine thought patterns based on your level of control. Focus your attention on what you can fix and fix it and discard all other thoughts. An example of this would be maybe you're consumed with thinking about the weather. Maybe you get up and the automatic first thing you think is, it's going to be humid today. It's going to be hot today. Oh, this humidity, this heat. I hate this heat, this humidity. And so it could very easily, even though it sounds silly and funny, affect your thinking all day long and put you in a bad frame of mind. Can you control the humidity? Yes, you could move. But you live here. This is your home. So it's going to be humid in July. That happens. July's hot. July is humid. So another example would be the way people drive. Could you become in a terrible frame of mind as you're driving about the way everyone else is driving? Absolutely. Can you control the way everybody else is driving? Unless you're a law enforcement officer on the road, on patrol at that given time, no, you can't. And so there are things, and we can take that to the next level and say there's all kinds of examples of things in our life every day outside of our ability to control that affect our thinking. The other thing about that I wanted to review is in confronting our thinking with truth is that often we are just in a place where we are focused on our circumstances and our circumstances are affecting our thinking and we're meditating on our circumstances. One example would be, and I discussed this with somebody after the lesson last time, our knee-jerk reaction is to flee our circumstances if they are causing us to be in a bad frame of mind or causing us grief or causing us anxiety. Maybe if I change my circumstances, maybe if I change my job, maybe if I change my spouse, maybe if I change my church, maybe if I can get out of this situation, then my stress is going to go away and I'm going to be okay. I'm stressed at work because of this customer or this boss or this client or this load they're putting on me. But ultimately, and I can't say that it's never God's will for your circumstances to change. God can change your circumstances. It can sometimes be wise to change your circumstances. Another example is a mom that's tempted to think, you know what? The reason why I'm stressed out is because of just how much has to be done today, or because I wish if my husband helped me more, or if this happened better, or if this was the case, then I wouldn't be stressed. But if you're a busy mom and you have a number of children, you're going to have a busy day. You're going to have a lot of things happening. And so it's not that you can't be wise and make decisions that will avoid certain situations. That is definitely prudent. But the point is that often it is in our circumstances that need to change. It's our thinking. It's our thinking that needs to change. So these next three points that we're going to deal with is how do we walk in the Spirit in the new mind that Christ has given us at salvation? How do we think in a way that is going to positively affect our emotions and positively affect our behaviors? And there's three points. It's actually four points, and they're intertwined. So when we talk about these things, a lot of overlap. In this, we could almost make it one big point. But the first one is, after we dealt with confronting our thinking with truth, the first one is disciplining our thinking. And I'm going to end with renewing our mind. And I hope that I can get there, because renewing our mind, and if we don't, I just want to say, renewing our mind with the Word of God is critical to all of this. It's the foundation for all of it. Because God has commanded us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. So the first point is disciplining your thinking. An undisciplined mind is a life described in Proverbs. It's a life without any walls. It's like a city broken down without any walls around our emotions. A person without mental self-control is like a city without walls. Unprotected. Every thought, Satan is our enemy. He's throwing fiery darts at us all the time. He's in battle mode, whether you are or not. And so the idea is that truly, there really isn't anything that you can be successful at without discipline. whether it's lifting weights or sports or some kind of thing that you're putting your mind to, school, a mind that is not trained to think intentionally, examine every thought through the lens of truth, every thought of every second of every day, discarding any thought that doesn't conform to God's thoughts, is a mind headed for emotional disaster. An undisciplined mind, although not seen by people, manifests itself in areas that people do see. So you think, okay, people can't see my thoughts, and they don't know that I'm not being disciplined in my mind, that I'm not focusing my mind on truth, that I'm not setting my mind on things above, that I'm not discarding thoughts that are not true, beautiful, good, lovely, all of these things. So how does that manifest itself? Well, by an undisciplined tongue, by being undisciplined maybe in our appetite, by being undisciplined online, by being undisciplined in recreation, by not disciplining your time so that you can do things that are important with your family and others. These are all things that come from an undisciplined mind. They flow downstream from it. Some examples of emotions that come from an undisciplined mind. Remember again that our thoughts affect our emotions. Examples would be, I'm so upset. I'm so discouraged right now. And not that we won't be down or discouraged and sometimes struggling with despair, but I'm so frustrated, meaning I'm so angry. I'm so overwhelmed. And by that time, you're in an emotion of that reflects that. I'm just so depressed. I'm so down. I feel unloved. I'm stressed. I'm underappreciated. So the question that we should ask ourselves is, what were you thinking before you felt that way? What were you thinking? What are you thinking when you feel that way? And then why did you indulge in that thought? And that's truly what we do, right? When we are giving in to anxiety, when we are giving in to being, quote unquote, stressed out, when we are giving in to despair, we are indulging thoughts that lead to those things. And we are choosing to not discipline our minds. So 1 Peter 1:13 is a great verse that I believe God uses to illustrate this. And when we get into the next point, we're going to talk about how we set our minds the opposite way. So 1 Peter 1:13 says, the Authorized Version says, gird up the loins of your mind. The ESV says to be active, to have an active mind, to prepare your mind for action. And that is the idea here. Be serious, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what Peter is telling his hearers here, he's saying it's kind of like a soldier that goes into combat, and he's got this long robe, and his robe is loose, and he hasn't gathered it up and tucked it into his belt, eliminating a tripping hazard. Kind of a modern day example would be a Marine rushing to join his battalion. He's not ready. He's not prepared. He didn't have his uniform on, his bulletproof vest on, and his boots aren't laced up. He doesn't have his equipment. He doesn't have his rifle ready. And the call goes out. We've got to get into battle here. And he rushes to storm a city with his battalion and occupied by enemy forces, and he's got his t-shirt and gym shorts on, and he's trying to carry his bulletproof vest and his gun and gather up his magazines and his equipment and his lights and his gun and all of his helmet, and he's got them all, and he's rushing into battle, totally unprepared. We do this every single day, that we do not discipline our minds to think truth, to think on things that are pure, to think on things that are good, to think on things that are lovely. What's the opposite of a sober mind? A disciplined mind. What is the opposite of a prepared, ready mind? It is, I believe, a foolish, naive, sloppy mind with no self-control, no plan for victory. So I've written down some tips, and if you have some more, add to it, please. What are some things that we can do to discipline our mind? Number one, and this is in secular literature as much as it is in, I believe, the word of God, as you see Psalms makes it clear. David said, early will I seek you. I'm going to focus on the godly man meditates on the day on the law of the Lord day and night. And he's like a tree, a flourishing tree, a fruitful tree. But the first thing I believe that's so crucial is that we control the first thought we think every day. Some people that are out there that are not at all Christians have advocated getting up in the morning and saying out loud, it's going to be a great day today. And then just by saying that, it makes it a great day. Well, we know that there are going to be lots of things that happen in our day that what does that great day look like? Chris and I were having this conversation. He said, what does a great day look like to you? What has to happen to be a great day? But ultimately, we can say, God is good, and God is going to give me grace today. And no matter what happens today, the Lord is with me. And if I descend into the uttermost parts of the earth, God is with me, and God is good. And you might be like, I'm not a morning person, or I just don't have a lot of time in the morning. By the time I have to do this or get ready to go to work, well, there's some amount of preparation time, I'm sure, where you can be directing your mind. Listen to some audio scripture. Listen to something that is going to help to focus your mind. What is the first thought? What was the last thought on your mind before you went to bed? Were you examining yourself before you went to bed? Say, what did I do well today and what can I do better? And oh God, what can I meditate on right now so I will lay down and sleep in peace and safety and be considering you and thinking of you, and I'm going to get up in the morning with the high praises of God upon my lips. And we know that if we force ourselves to sing truth and to think truth, God will change our frame of mind because the word of God is powerful. And it is quick, and it is alive. And we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we should, our first thought, the first thought we think every day is the most crucial. It is the foundation. And automatically, as soon as you get up, irritable things are coming into your mind. There is something. You get up, you're like, okay, somebody didn't do this. This was left out. Why is this out of place? Looks like it's going to rain today. Automatically, these are the times to control and discipline our thinking, to be thinking positive, true, godly, good things, right things. Focusing on what you're thinking when you're on, second tip to disciplining your mind, focus on what you're thinking when your frame of mind is wrong, and then discard those thoughts. You know, and other people usually know, when you are in we call it irritability or whatever it is, but we are not happy, we are not at peace, and nobody else around us is going to be at peace. And so we also know these are not harmless things, because being in a wrong frame of mind is going to lead to wrong behaviors, sinful behaviors, sinful actions. Maybe you've had a really long, hard day, and you're like, I'm just going to veg out. Without a plan, without a strategy of how you're going to relax, that can lead to sinful behaviors and sinful actions. Coming home thinking, I just need a break. I deserve a break today. I deserve a little peace and quiet when I get home. I've had a really hard day today as a mother, so I deserve some peace and quiet. Well, guess what? You're probably not going to get it. And if you don't get it, what's going to happen? So what is going through our mind that leads to these sinful types of behaviors? And how can we discard those thoughts? The third thing is reframe every thought with truth. And I know you may be thinking right now, you're not thinking about the light because it's been fixed. But you may be thinking about, that sounds like a lot of hard work. Wouldn't it be easier just to rest in Christ and rest in the righteousness of Christ and the truth of the gospel? This is work. Yes, it is. It is. At first, it's like everything that we do that is rewarding in life has to go against the nature, the human nature. And discipline is the opposite of sloppiness, because sloppiness is the natural way of things, right? The natural way of everything is to decay and go downhill, and our minds are no different. Our minds are sinful minds. And all of our sinful thought patterns and all of our sinful presuppositions come naturally to us. So to combat that is Spirit-filled work. The Holy Spirit will enable you. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has equipped you by giving you a new mind, a Christ-filled mindset. So, yes, it is work, but it is a rewarding thing, and it is a blessing thing, and you will be blessed to walk in a peace-filled mind. It will become more and more natural to you. So the fourth thing is keep your mind focused in profitable and edifying directions. I'd say everything, almost everything, about our so-called, quote-unquote, phones, because they're not phones. They're personal computers that have all the information in the world in them, is designed to do the exact opposite of disciplining our minds. I think Neff had one time told me, we look at our phones as tools, and we think, okay, how can they assist us in something profitable? And that's how we want to teach our children to interact with technology, right? If we're just taking phones and saying, here, I don't want to do the work of training my child to sit still. See, we as children can teach our kids, parents can teach our kids not to be disciplined in their thinking too, right? By stuffing a device in front of them and saying, here, instead of disciplining yourself to sit still for 10 minutes, I don't want to deal with you. Here's a device. Here's the phone. Here's your favorite show. And so we are there. If they're not assisting us in profitability, then they're leading us to become more sloppy and self-absorbed. Smartphones make us dumb. It's like scrolling and looking at pointless and dumb memes and shorts and always eagerly looking to see if somebody has responded back to us or affirmed our post of earlier. Has anyone in the last 30 seconds liked my vacation post yet? Or my Easter picture with the fam? So these things are easy to distract our minds, but they're not focusing our minds in profitable directions, are they? And edifying directions. So we keep our mind focused on that, even in preparing for a sermon or preparing, you know, for to sit down and to do something profitable on your laptop. You're like, am I gonna check this news site? Am I gonna check this? Am I gonna check Facebook? Am I gonna see what happened here? It's like our minds have been rewired definitely by technology and the use of it. So we must recalibrate. We prepare our minds for action. When we do not allow our thoughts to trail off, but instead focus them like a laser in one direction by being intentional. We prepare our minds for action when we go to bed. And I'm going to ask you guys in a minute, what are some things that you can do to discipline your mind? What are some practical things? So if you can think of that, tell me in a second. Preparing for action in the morning by the first thought we think. Preparing for action when we read the Word of God, meditate on certain key verses of God's Word, digest them in such a way that they transform our thinking and our actions. An example would be meditate on Psalm 19:20. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation, the thoughts of my heart, be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And we continually keep anchoring ourselves in that all day long. What are some things that you guys can throw out there that you think are practical tips to disciplining our minds? Or maybe you could tell me, here's some things that do not lead to discipline of the mind. Just blurt it out. I'll repeat it for the live stream people. Is a way to discipline it. It's a good thought. Right, because if you speak out loud, maybe some of the things that are like just going over and over and over again, and it's a way of like, hey, can you help point out some things that don't seem biblical about the way I'm thinking right now? That's a great one. Any other? Sing truth. Amen.
You mentioned already, I think you mentioned it again, but the thought filter, Philippians 4:8. Mm.
Is that the thinking on whatsoever things? Well, we're going to get to that. Right. Amen. Anybody else? Miss Lisa.
1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
For applying
that. Amen. And, you know, it can seem, we talk to our children about this, and it can seem trite or petty. But no, it isn't, because when you think about the tendency of our mind to turn everything into a negative complaint, and I know the world has their whole concept of positive thinking that can bypass objective truth. But we are talking about what you were just saying in the scripture, that these say the verse again, quote it again one more time, or read it. Amen. And that act of giving thanks in all circumstances is a way of thinking, disciplining our thinking. Absolutely. Because we get in the habit of not doing that. All right, and then anybody else that I want to go on to the second point?
Just to add to that, I think that, that you're receiving, right? I mean, you're going to be thankful, for what you receive. So if the situations are and circumstances seem unbearable, this is what God has given you today.
Amen. That's helpful. That's helpful. Thank you. Okay, the third point, the first was confront your thinking with truth that we've dealt with a lot a couple weeks ago. Then discipline your thinking. The third point is think intentionally. And this really could be the same point, but there's a couple offshoots of this. Intentional thinking begins with recognizing, identifying with who we are in Christ. From Romans 8, okay, begins with a spiritual mind. Romans 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, according means in harmony, an agreement with the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. So their mind is set on now, what pleases me, what I want my day to look like. What is going to be a good day for me in my mind? What is going to be a perfect ideal day? The vacation I need. This thing that I must have to make me happy. And not that those things are in and of themselves, like vacations, rest, breaks, are evil at all. It can be great, very useful. But it's setting our mind on this. A little example would be the other day I came home, and this is one of a thousand examples. It's the one that I can think of that I did the right thing, so I'm going to share it with you. Where I came home, and I had been working all day in the office and had not got a chance to work out, and I really wanted to just do something physical, get on the elliptical, and so I just kept focusing on that, and I could see things were on a downhill spiral in the kitchen. And the baby was screaming, and I was like, if I just get in there, I can just shut this stuff out of my mind. And so it was such a focus for me that I was willing to ignore the fact that my wife was struggling with her prep and with things that she was trying to get ready. So ultimately, I just said, okay, we're going to load up Felicity and Ethan in the wagon, and I'm going to work out on the road and sweat and walk them up and down the road. And they were happy. But it was a focus of mine that I had to have this thing to be in a right frame of mind. And it wasn't my circumstances that needed to change. It was my thinking. And so, but here he says, setting their minds on the flesh is equivalent with death. But to set your mind on the Spirit, in contrast, is equivalent to life and peace. Life and peace. That means life is now for the believer. It begins now. Eternal life, joyful life, God's Spirit-filled life, the fullness of joy that David talks about in Psalm 16 is at the Father's right hand. Obviously not perfected yet, obviously not glorified yet, but the mind that is set on the flesh is at enmity with God, hostile to God, against God, for it does not submit to God's law. It cannot. So if you're walking with a worldly, fleshly mindset, which is the natural tendency of our human nature, it cannot please God. There's no way it can. It's impossible to. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you will have life and peace. You can please God. That's the way God has made it. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Matthew Henry says that the life of the soul consists in its union with spiritual peace by the mind. A sanctified soul is a living soul, and that life is peace. Spiritual mindedness is eternal life and peace that has begun with an assuring earnest of the perfection of it. So we are assured that it will be perfected one day, but it's begun. That defines our position in Christ. Pastor Donnie, if you could just raise your hand when we're at the time, because I don't have a watch with me. This defines our position in Christ. After being made a new creature, we are a new creation. Therefore, our minds, our wills, and affections are new. We are enabled by God's grace to set the direction of the mind on spiritual things. Because we have new life, we can now do this. So we can now obey Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Setting your mind on things above. This requires daily, hourly, minute-by-minute training to stir up our hearts towards all that is unchangeable, towards all that is eternal, towards all that is pure, towards all that is holy. You're overwhelmed? You have a busy day? It isn't that you're going to say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to be in this state of bliss, and I'm just going to forget the fact that I have 15 responsibilities. I'm just going to kind of float above it. I'm going to get it connected to this soar above this world, and I'm just going to, you know, just breathe deeply, and I'm going to forget about all of my cares and worries and strifes. No, we have responsibilities God has blessed us with. He has made us as human beings to enjoy working and producing and doing good things. It's our mindset about work should be changed, shouldn't it? We know our mindset about work is wrong with how we look at rest from work, right? When we dread our work, Joel Beakey said, the purpose of vacation to him and the weekend is to refresh himself so he can go back to work. Because he's so excited about working. He says, I hate it when it's 5 o'clock because work's over for me for the day, that kind of work. And I love my work. Whatever I'm doing, even some of the most mundane things, I love producing for the glory of God because that's what God made me to do. So it's not necessarily our work that needs to change. It's our mindset about work. Training our kids, children, to say, how you look at your work right now, how you look at your dishes, how you look at your chores, how you make your bed, how you clean your room, is how you're training yourself for the things God's going to call you to do later on in life. You're not going to, even if your goals are noble, that I'm going to go into missions or into pastoral ministry, and I don't want to do an excellent job at my dishes, you're not going to make a very good pastor or a very good missionary or a very good computer scientist if you don't think about these things with the right mindset. So this requires daily, hourly training so that we are setting our mind on the things that cannot be stolen from us, that cannot be taken from us, which is everything heavenly, right? It has been often said that some people are so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. But as we look at the scripture, really the opposite should be true, that you can be so earthly minded that you are not of any heavenly good. Those that live in pleasure for themselves, according to Titus, are dead already. Those who run not for a perishable crown but imperishable have a clear and fixed mind that is constantly being renewed by one thing, living with the end in mind, living with the end goal in mind. What is God making me? Why has he set me here on earth? What is he doing in me? What will I be able to stand before the Father and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm running for the prize. And then the other great thing, and again, I want some input here on what we can do to intentionally change our thinking. But Philippians 4, as Donnie pointed out, is a very key passage here. He called it a filter. Paul Washer says it's like fence posts in a corral that we build around our minds. We corral ourselves in with this kind of thinking. Can somebody read Philippians 4, I think it's 8, if you have it? Whatsoever things are in the list there, if you have that, just read it out loud for me. Verse 8.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true,
Amen. So is this thought worthy of praise? Is this a lovely, pure thought? I'm walking around, I'm working on something, everything's piling up around me. I'm starting to think about everything that I have to do, that I'm not going to get it done, or I'm realizing that somebody else isn't doing their job, and so, or I'm realizing that maybe my spouse is in a wrong frame of mind, maybe my children are in a wrong frame of mind. What is happening with my frame of mind right now? There is something unresolved. There is something, some conflict that's unresolved. There's some decision taking place about my job or maybe a house or whatever it is, and there's no resolution yet. What is I'm being, is there's no noise, as I'm walking around in silence doing this job, what is happening to my thinking? What is, if I'm listening to something, how is that influencing my thinking? In other words, these movies that I meditated on before I came to church, or this music, these social media posts, these YouTube videos, what kind of thoughts did they produce, and are those true? Are those lovely? Are those of a good report? Am I really a failure, as I'm thinking right now? Is everything I do a failure? Is my husband really never considerate? Does he always, always, every single minute of every day do this one thing that I say he always does? Is that true? Or maybe there's one time that he doesn't do that bad thing, and I can dwell on that and say, thank God for that. With our children, our teenaged children, our young adult children who are now as tall as we are, and they are taking, you know, we are maybe impatient with them. Is there something we're overlooking about their character that is causing us to think only negatively about everything they do rather than praising God for the good things we see in them? So another thing that we can examine with this paradigm is it true? Here's some thoughts that we can often say, and we can speak these thoughts too. I just can't take it anymore, right? Is that true? I'm done. That's it. I've had it. I quit. I'm done. That's it. These are lies. We must remember that coming to a point when we mentally quit or give up doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time to get down into that rocky gorge of hopelessness, doesn't it? We gradually begin to accept false ideas, false premises about ourselves. Nobody gets me. I need more self-care. All right? The truth is, here's the truth. There's no limit to the grace, the strength, the life in the inner man through Christ. It doesn't matter what is wrong circumstantially. And maybe there's some things that with proper planning, good financial wisdom, marriage help, you can fix about your circumstances, and that God will do works in those other people. And you may be in a circumstances right now where today there is really nothing you can do about those circumstances. But over time, with the right mindset, you can. But in the meantime, the truth is there is no limit to the strength, the grace, and life in the inner man through Christ, through the Holy Spirit's power, the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit. There is no to be Spirit-filled. There is no limit to the ability you have through God to conquer your flesh and to persevere. God ordained that you can take it. He ordained you can mount up with wings of eagles and run and not faint and persevere to the end. God has ordained that you are not of those who turn back if you are born again by the grace of God. God has ordained that you will be glorified and that you will live and never die. He is writing your story. He has ordained that you will carry the treasure of the gospel in these earthen jars of clay. God is giving you more grace than you need, abundant grace, abundant mercy to persevere through the toughest of days. So just asking then, what are some things that you can do to change your thinking by thinking intentionally? What are intentional thoughts that you can do to set your affections in the right place, or tips along that line? Steve.
It's directing the mind to remember your citizenship as a kingdom person.
Amen.
Story
Amen.
If we can get our position right to know that, you know, Job, it was the beginning. I said it. If you considered my man, if you can consider that you belong to God, then all is for his glory after that.
Amen. Praise God. Let me just move to the next point. If you have something else to consider, we'll see what we're out with time. But think preventatively is the fourth one. Again, this could definitely tie into thinking intentionally. This can definitely tie into thinking in a disciplined way. We must, to think preventatively, first of all, we must speak truth to ourselves. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. We must speak truth to ourselves because we speak to ourselves more than anybody else in our life. All right, we can dictate somebody else speak to us through whatever we're listening to. And I will say that I am a lot more depressed when I listen to a lot of political podcasts. Absolutely. No doubt. There's no doubt a connection. Because I can't control what I'm listening to. I have no control over how bad things are. I can't fix it. So, did you have a question? Oh, okay, I thought you raised your hand. Sorry. So we can't control that. So we are encouraged to speak to ourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord because we are going to speak to ourselves. So we must choose to speak truth. Preventative thinking also sees ahead to the snares and pitfalls and maps out ways to avoid those things. So we can avoid some things by better planning. We can avoid some things by better priorities. We can avoid some things by all of that. But really, truly, we can avoid a lot of things by changing our thinking. It doesn't involve just knowing that there's a roadblock ahead on this particular road. It involves and then just staying on the same road and then getting angry. Ah, here I am again in this traffic when there's another way we could have taken. So It doesn't mean that we're going to just keep doing the same things that lead to the same behaviors. A lot of times we find ourselves in ruts of frustration, ruts of maybe lust, ruts of stress, ruts of anger, ruts of despair, and we keep thinking the same way. We keep getting up in the morning thinking the same thoughts. We're done, right? Okay, 2 minutes. So this is a matter of preventative thinking. We should use this concept in our child training. We should use this concept in just being more productive at our jobs. But we can definitely use this concept as we seek to think biblically and think rightly. Think about a certain emotion or behavior you have on a regular basis, all the time, like every day, and start asking some questions about that behavior. What led me to this? I'm going to just real quick share this and then be done. A personal example would be, there was a time, now I hope this is true, that there was a time where regularly, if I came home and things were not, you know, I knew we were not going to have an early dinner, which meant that the kids weren't going to be getting to bed early, which means we would have to cram in family worship, which meant that, you know, there would be some chaos later on, and I couldn't work on what I was going to work on for my class later that night. That if I knew that certain preparations weren't being avoided to avoid what I viewed as chaos or disorder, the panic that I had when I came in the house was not manifested in running around screaming, but it was manifested by putting everyone into a frenzied work mode immediately. Okay, walk in the door, get that picked up, do this. And it was becoming to a point where I knew that I was making people in my family miserable by my behavior, by my actions. So I would get to the point where I'd be like, okay, I know when I walk in the door, I can almost guarantee that things aren't going to be totally ready for supper. There's going to be some disorder. There's going to be whatever. The house may be messy. So I'm going to prepare myself. I'm not going to get upset. And I walk in the door and I start finding myself spiraling down into this behavioral, this stressed frame of mind, irritable frame of mind. So there were some steps that I had to take to pull down what were real legitimate strongholds. And here they are real quick. Self-examination that involve fervent prayer and even fasting. confession, repentance of sin, larger log type sense that were causing me to be manifesting other people's splinters. Restlessness of spirit from deep-rooted disorder in my own soul. The disorder of other people just reminded me of my own disorder. It just made me mad that I was in a bad state because it was tiny little disorders making me realize you're disordered in your soul. Lack of spiritual and physical discipline, lack of preventive thinking, lack of inner peace and satisfaction. So I started to realize and come to a point, I must renew my mind through the pure word of God. Romans 12 says that we are to consecrate ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that happens through a life that is transformed by God's truth. God's truth. Day and night, meditating. Being a mind and heart rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Rooted and grounded, not unstable, tossed to and fro by every wind of circumstances. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of the word of God. Thank you, God, for creating us in your image. Thank you for giving us very intelligent minds that can do amazing things. Help us, O Lord, God, to operate in the Spirit and to set our mind on the things of the Spirit and on the things above and to just be in love with Christ and his word and to be transformed, truly changed by your word so that we will be patient, loving, kind, have peace, the peace of God that rules and reigns in our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.